Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Mike Moret. Today we are in Deuteronomy chapter 14, and this is our 22nd study through the book of Deuteronomy. And Lord, we pray that you would add your blessings to the word that we are about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy 14:1, God says, "You are the children of the Lord your God. Do not cut yourselves or shave the front of your heads for the dead." Now you say, what is that talking about? Well, the heathens in those days used to tear their flesh, including their mouths, their cheeks, and their breasts. And they would do these things as signs of mourning. Now, sadness is understandable when you lose someone that you care about, but that's going way too far for people of faith. It is like 1 Thessalonians 4:13 in the New Testament says, "Do not grieve as do others who have no hope." And so Deuteronomy 14:1 is saying, "Do not mourn like the heathen." Verse 2, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession." In other words, God says, you've been set apart to be my people. And he says, now, because that's true, do not act like the heathen. Don't act like the heathen in your mourning, or in your lifestyle, or in your religious services. Verse 3. Do not eat any detestable thing. Some creatures are detestable. By their nature, they are detestable. And others are detestable because God says they are. And he lists some of these creatures who he would categorize as unclean and therefore not fit to be eaten by the Israelites in the Old Testament. Verse 4, "These are the animals you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat." These animals were used in sacrifices to God, but God says, if you want to, Israel, you can eat them as a common meal as well. Verse 5, "You can also eat this: the deer, the gazelle, the roe deer, the wild goat, the ibex, the antelope, and the mountain sheep." These would all be in the deer family. So God is saying, Israel, you may eat venison if you like. Verse 6, "You may eat any animal that has a split hoof divided in two and that chews the cud. However, of those that chew the cud or that have a split hoof completely divided, you may not eat the camel, the rabbit, or the coney. Although they chew the cud, they do not have a split hoof. They are ceremonially unclean for you. The pig is also unclean. Although it has a split hoof, it does not chew the cud. You are not to eat their meat or touch their carcasses." Rather than name every single animal in the world that would be okay for Israel to eat, God simply lays out the guidelines. A split hoof and chews the cud. Those are the guidelines. They do that, or they have that, and you can eat it. God doesn't always treat his people like little children, you know, telling them every little thing they can and cannot do. You know, that would be impossible. Instead, he gives general principles and then expects us to use the brain that he has given us. And by the way, there are those who have studied this issue of clean and unclean food. They have studied it in depth, And they have discovered that there are some health reasons to avoid the animals that God said, do not eat. And so he was really watching over his people here. Verse 9. Of all the creatures living in the water, you may eat any that has fins and scales. But anything that does not have fins and scales, you may not eat. For you, it is unclean. Again, the general guidelines are laid out, this time for seafood. It must have fins and scales, which means no shrimp, no lobster, no crabs, and things like that for Israel. And again, I'm not an expert on any of this, but I have been told or I read somewhere where these kind of sea creatures are basically the cockroach of the ocean. So probably some health reasons, although I love lobster and shrimp, there are probably some good health reasons not to eat it. Verse 11, you may eat any clean bird. Clean birds, by God's definition, may be eaten. And what follows are the birds which cannot be eaten. So evidently it is any kind of a bird, any kind of fowl, other than the ones now listed, beginning here in verse 12. But these you may not eat: the eagle, the vulture, the black vulture, the red kite, the black kite, and any kind of falcon, any kind of raven, the horned owl, the screech owl, the gull, any kind of hawk, the little owl, the great owl, the white owl, the desert owl, the osprey, the cormorant, the stork, any kind of heron, the hoopoe, and the bat. Well, you look at these winged creatures, and they may have other things in common, but they all have at least one thing in common that I've discovered. They eat rotting flesh. Now, these kind of creatures, I shouldn't say that about the bat. I don't know if they do. I think they do. But one thing is for sure, these creatures have their place in creation. There's a reason God made them. You know, the world would be overrun with the carcasses of animals if it wasn't for these birds that eat rotting flesh. So thank the Lord that he made these detestable birds, and they certainly are. So they have a purpose, but God says, don't you eat these birds of prey, because that's not the reason I made them. That's one command I have never struggled with. Verse 19, all flying insects that swarm are unclean to you. Do not eat them. And that would mean that the Israelites could not eat things like flies and wasps. Now, I knew a boy, believe it or not, who ate flies. And if he would have been an Old Testament Israelite, then he would have been a sinner for eating those flies. As it turns out, he's just a few bricks shy of a load. Verse 20. But any winged creature that is clean, you may eat. And so, except for the birds mentioned earlier, namely the flesh-eating birds, other fowl was okay for Israel to eat. 21. Do not eat anything you find already dead. You may give it to an alien living in any of your towns, and he may eat it, or you may sell it to a foreigner. But you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The unsaved were not bound by the dietary laws of the Jews. The Jews were a separate people, dedicated to the service of God. They were the people of God, supposed to be his representatives here on earth. And because of that, they were to take better care of themselves, and that included eating healthier food. Verse 21. Last part of it. Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. You say, I've never even thought about doing that. Well, that's because you are not a heathen living in the area of the Holy Land before Israel got there, because they did that. And I covered this back in the book of Exodus because it was mentioned there as well. But I will just say at this time that in addition to this being a part of a very heathenistic fertility ritual, it was also a very cruel thing to do. And God says, don't do it, Israel. 22. Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. God says, Israel, I want you to tithe your produce. Now, this particular tithe isn't referring to the 10% that was given to the ministers at the temple every year. This is a second tithe. And this tithe was actually set apart, not for the ministers, but for the people to whom it belonged in the first place. God says, set aside 10% of your produce. And then verse 23, eat the tithe of your grain, new wine, and oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks, in the presence of the Lord your God, at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. And so this is what the Israelites were supposed to do. They were to take 10% of their produce down to the holy temple in Jerusalem and enjoy it in the presence of God. And so that, doing that with their second yearly tithe, would be a yearly reminder of God's provision. It would help them to respect the Lord as the provider of all good things. 24. But if that place, the temple, is too distant, and you have been blessed by the Lord your God and cannot carry your tithe because the place where the Lord will choose to put his name is so far away. In other words, if God happened to really bless someone that year and they lived a long way from the temple, that would be a big project for them to haul 10% of everything that they obtained that year down to the temple. Boy, you would need a couple of U-Haul trucks. And so, verse 25, God says, then exchange your tithe for silver, and take the silver with you, and go to the place the Lord your God will choose. It's a lot easier to carry a purse full of money. And so God says, just sell 10% of your increase and bring the cash down to where my temple will be. In verse 26, God says, use the silver to buy whatever you like, cattle, sheep, wine, or other fermented drink, or anything you wish. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. And so God says, when you get to Jerusalem, buy what you want to eat and buy what you want to drink, including, and he mentions specifically here, wine or other alcoholic beverages. And then God says, eat and drink and have a good time. And believe me, God is not saying it's okay to get smashed. He's not saying, well, go ahead and get drunk if you feel like it and have a good time before me. No, because drunkenness is a sin. Drunkenness is a sin, but it is clear from the Word of God that having an alcoholic beverage is not. And, you know, we must be careful not to go beyond what is written. Now, it could be that you don't think that God wants you to have any alcoholic beverages. That's fine. You ought to go with your convictions. But just so you know what the Bible says. And we'll pick up our study in verse 27 next time. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let the beauty of the Lord our God rest upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next time, so long, everyone.